This episode is brought to you by The Lucky Bear. The Lucky Bear is an intuitive card reading service, and you can reach them at theluckybear.com or with the link in the show notes. So let's get to our episode. Hello, and welcome back to the Tricky Notes podcast. I'm here to bring you an album review. And on this particular episode, I'm bringing you an album review of ABBA's Voyage. Now, I know this album came out in 2021, but when I told you I was coming back, I told you I had a backload of album reviews that I was going to be bringing to you, even though they were kind of older. But in this case in particular, I'm kind of glad I did, because I'll be honest with you, I had nostalgia glasses kind of clouding my vision of the album a little bit. So now I can really kind of look at the album with a little bit more clarity and a little bit more taking it for what it is. Let me kind of give you a little bit of a rundown of how these reviews are going to go from now on. I actually have a scale built up. I have 10 different categories that I'm rating the albums in. And I will be giving the album a score in each of the particular categories. A lot of these are, you know, of course, my opinions. and I'll kind of explain them as I go along. So first, before we kind of get too major into the album review itself, let's kind of give a little background of ABBA and this album in particular. So, if you're not aware, ABBA is a music group I have talked about before on this podcast. I did an episode about supergroups that worked, because ABBA was a supergroup in the early 70s. They were all the members were successful Swedish performers, and they came together to form a supergroup. And ABBA is an acronym of the first letter of each of their names. That's Agneta, Anifrid, which goes by Frida, Bjorn, and Benny. And, you know, they had pretty well, you know, pretty good success worldwide in their heyday, but they never really picked up in the U.S., and they only had a few hits in the U.S. Of course, Dancing Queen was a big hit, and you know, then Take a Chance on Me, Winner Takes It All. Those were all hits in the U.S. Worldwide, they had a lot more success. They had multiple number ones in the U.K. where they only had one in the U.S., etc. And they kind of always got the short end of the stick, so to speak, because they are a pop group. And when during their heyday in the 70s, I mean, you either had your rock, you know, this is the time of, you know, Fleetwood Mac's heyday of the, you know, Lindsey Buckingham, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie lineup. You know, you had the era of Heart. And then on the other flip side, you had disco, which a lot of people want to kind of shove ABBA into the disco box, but they really were never disco. They were pop. So the group was made up of two couples who got together, got married, and got divorced during the course of their career. And their heyday career lasted from the early 70s up until 1982 when they broke up. They released their last studio album in 1981, which was called The Visitors. It was released on November 30th of 1981. And we all thought that was kind of it. You know, they were offered $1 billion to reunite, and they turned it down in the year 2000. So everybody thought that they would never get together. And it was quite a surprise when they announced that they were going to release a new album. And literally, it was 25 days short of being 40 years between album releases. And not only that, you know, after their last studio album in 1981, they did release a greatest hits collection called The Singles, the first 10 years, which had two new songs on it. And those were the last singles that Abbott ever released back in 1982. So it was really 39 years we were waiting for new Abbott material. So getting all that background out of the way, kind of all that. Let's talk about Voyage itself, the album. And it's their ninth studio album. All the songs are co-written by Benny and Bjorn, which a majority of ABBA's music was written by them. In fact, all their studio songs were written by Abbott, Bjorn, and Benny, though there were a few that had additional lyrics by their producer, especially in the early years when they were still kind of wrapping their hands around English, since it's not their first language. And in between the release of The Visitors and Voyage, Benny and Bjorn had actually written a Broadway musical along with Tim Rice. That was, you know, a fairly decent success, called Chess, which spawned two hit singles, One Night in Bangkok and I Know Him So Well. I throw that out there because Bjorn and Benny's songwriting on Voyage really kind of feels more in that vein than it did the ABBA vein of, you know, their heyday. But that's not to say that this doesn't sound like ABBA. It does sound like ABBA. It just doesn't sound like the heyday album. It's, if you are an ABBA fan and you have listened to the album The Visitors, which was their last studio album, this really feels like a continuation of The Visitors. And by that, I mean, The Visitors was a divorce album. Many of the songs on that album, not all, had to do with divorce and breakups and things ending, because that's where ABBA was at the time. Voyage, on the other hand, is the aftermath of divorce. And as such, the album almost feels like the aftermath of Divorce, the musical. That's not saying that's a bad thing. That's just kind of where it is. And I think looking at a lot of the reviews and a lot of the people were talking about this album, there were some people that were disappointed because it didn't sound like the heyday ABBA. It didn't sound like the Dancing Queen and Take a Chance on Me and The Winner Takes It All ABBA, because ABBA had moved on past that before they broke up. You know, The Visitors was where, you know, One of Us, and When All Is Said and Done, that's where they were at that time. And so this, if you listen to The Visitors and Voyage back to back, it does feel like chronologically it makes sense in their kind of continuation as a band. So I've kind of rambled about all that. Let's kind of go through my 10 categories and tell you where I rank them in each thing. So the first category I am rating the album in is enjoyment. Did I enjoy the album? And I give that 9 points out of 10. Even after the nostalgia's worn off and listening to the album, I do enjoy it. I do feel that it is a good album. And it's a fun listen in some places, and it is a kind of heartbreaking listen in some places, which we'll kind of talk about a little bit further along. But I do think it is a highly enjoyable album as a whole. The next one is the revisit value. Is the album one that's worth revisiting? And I gave that one an 8 out of 10. It's not one that I would instantly put on as to revisit. I think it's worth revisiting from time to time, but it's not one that I'm going to listen to on repeat over and over. So that's kind of where I give the on the revisit album. The next category is the album flow. And what I mean by that is, do the tracks make sense back to back? Do the album have a good feel and flow to it? Are the tracks arranged in a good way? And I give that an 8 out of 10. There, for the most part, it does. Unfortunately, the third track on the album, Little Things, derails it. It starts off, with this nice big ballad, then it gets its upbeat, and then it goes into a Christmas song. And then goes back to the upbeat. And it really, that does take off the flow. Still give it an 8 out of 10 because most of it does. It's not completely disjointed. There's just that one big hiccup. So that's why I don't give that at 10 in that category. As far as cohesion rating. Now, cohesion rating means, does the album make sense thematically? Does it feel like it is a cohesive project? Or is it just a bunch of songs thrown together? And I give it a 9 out of 10 on that one, because there is a consistent theme to the album. Even if all the songs meet that category, it still feels like a cohesive project, and it feels like it was meant to be an album on its whole. Okay. The next category is the music. And what I mean by that is, as far as the songwriting, does the music sound good? And it does. And this is ABBA. They're great at pop hooks. They really have a great feel. And I did totally give them an 8 out of 10 in this one. Once again, Little Things throws it off. And I'm sorry. It's good. It's just not as poppy or in some places as their, like I said, their heyday, but it is very good, very solid musically. And I do think it is worth the attention. The next one is the production. Now, the production, I did knock it down a little bit to a 7. It's still good, but you could tell they have not been in the studio in a while. There's some balancing issues with the music and the vocals in some places. Some of the blending of the vocals really weren't as well produced as in their heyday. It's still good. Gave that one a 7 out of 10. The next one is lyrics. I probably should move lyrics to be next to music. I'm going to do that for the next review. Now the lyrics, this may be a little bit controversial, is I gave it a 10 out of 10 on the lyrics. And you might, and I know if you listen to the lyrics, some of it sounds really corny, but that is quintessential ABBA as far as that part goes. And there's a lot to discuss in the lyrics, which I'll go when I do the song breakdown. But I think it's for English being their second language, and that's kind of one of the reasons I'm kind of grading on a curve a little bit. They do a great job of getting their point across lyrically and telling stories. And even on one of the songs, which is a kind of an environmental song, you don't realize it's an environmental song because it's really subtle in how it tells the story. And some of the lyrics, it's like, it's very in your face talking about where things are. So I really think the lyrics they have kept up where they need to be. The vocal work on the album, I gave them an 8 out of 10. Now, I need to explain this a little bit. I do think the vocals are fantastic. Both Anyetta and Frida have always had amazing vocals, but this one doesn't quite reach the level to where ABBA is in the past. And not that their voices sound bad, because their voices absolutely sound good. It's the blending. They don't, before, their harmonies were so tight and so good. And the harmonies are not as tight here. And I think a big part of that is Frida is singing with her Swedish accent. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with her, you know, bringing out her accent and actually, you know, singing with it. But it is, it does make it more difficult for the blending to work when Agneta is not singing with an accent. And you know, that's a big part of her not performing in for years and years and years. So, but you know, that's just kind of where that goes. So a 7 out or an 8 out of 10 in the vocal work section. The next section of the rating is, where does this album fit in their discography? And I gave it a 7 here. It is mid to low tier as far as ABBA albums go, in my opinion. But that's just because ABBA has some fantastic albums out there. This would probably be the third to last album of the 9 that I would revisit. And that is after the first two. You know, so it's kind of, so, I mean, that's not a bad thing, because the rest of the albums are fantastic. You know, there's a reason I did an episode where I talked about artists that I don't think have ever had a bad album. And I included ABBA on that list. And I still believe they haven't had a bad album. They just have some that are better than others. So this one didn't change the game. It is a solid addition to their discography, but it didn't change anything. It's still, you know, and that's when you have such highs in your discography, it's kind of hard to meet up to them. So the next section, I'm going to talk about the songs on the album. So the last, so this album has 10 songs, and I give the tracks a rating based on several factors. Number one, how many songs on the album are great? And I give a percentage of that. Then I give talk about how many songs on the album are basically filler. That means they're not bad. They're just not going to be put on another playlist, if you know what I mean. They fit in the album contest, but outside the album, they're just probably not going to be one that you just have on shuffle. And then the other category I have is number of skips. Those are songs that you just don't like, and they come on, you hit skip. You know, and those that for every skip, they get 0 points for that song. And then for the filler songs, they get half a point for each one of those songs. And then, there is a bonus if there are songs that I consider essentials, songs that are just so good, they would be ones that I would have on a 5-star playlist. And this album has 2 of those, in my opinion. So let's kind of go through those. So let's start with the good stuff. Let's start the ones I think that are essential, the ones that are really, really fantastic. And that's going to be Don't Shut Me Down, which is one of the first singles. I think that song was a great kind of comeback feel. It was released kind of as a double A-side with I Still Have Faith in You, which is good. But I Still Have Faith in You would be essential if it weren't for the vocal things. And it's really close to being essential. And I think a little bit more time with it, I may bump it up. But right now, it's just a good track. It's not essential. The other one is Keep an Eye on Dan. Now, Keep an Eye on Dan is an interesting song. Now, I already mentioned that this album is basically the aftermath of divorce, the musical. And Keep an Eye on Dan is a song about joint custody. But the song goes so hard. It is ridiculous how the music is just pumping and just things. And it's just like, and it's, the lyrics are about, you know, like handing off a child in a joint custody situation and kind of regretting and, you know, just all the feelings. And it's like, it's such a great song. And it's just so much, just so driving, and it's just so much fun. And then at the very end, there's a tag, kind of a throwback. It kind of brings back the hook of SOS of all songs. And I, you know, which kind of makes sense if you're, you know, emotionally like kind of regretting the divorce. So really, really a great song. And I was like, yeah, it's really that good. So the next, so I have six songs on the album. So there's four more songs on the album that I do think that are really great. I already mentioned I Still Have Faith in You. I also, which is a great ballad, you know, kind of one of those that's like, hey, you know, no matter what, you know, I still have faith in you and we still have it in us, you know. And in the discography, that's the first song on the album, is I Still Have Faith in You. And you, if you listen to Visitors and then Voyage back to back, you know, the last song on Visitors is Like an Angel Passing Through My Room, and Falling with I Still Have Faith in You, it like, it really gives that a really great transition from the former album to this album. It's a real good kind of get back into it track. And like I said, it's so close to being an essential, just it's not quite there for me. The other great songs on the album are When You Dance With Me, which was a really, really interesting upbeat, peppy song. It mentions a city in Ireland. So I think it's kind of part of that. It's really kind of a feel of, I think, that they're pulling from on the album. Just a really fun track. Really good there. Then Just a Notion is another really good one. Now, this one does not have new vocals. The vocals for Just the Notion were actually recorded in 1978. It was an unfinished ABBA track that they included on their box set in a kind of studio outtakes song called ABBA Undeleted, which had a bunch of segments of songs that they were working on in the studio and early versions of songs. It was just kind of a 20 something minute throw together a bunch of studio stuff. And where they were on Just a Notion on that, you know, it was just one that they just didn't quite have everything together for. And they revisited it. They kept the same vocals, just redid the music. And Bjorn and Benny were finally happy with what they were able to do musically on it. Good song. Not really an essential. There's to me, it's kind of a reason it was in the vault. But it is a great song. I'm glad to hear, you know, it's really good to hear those vocals completed on a song, but it really does point out how much the vocal harmonies have changed. And granted, the women have aged a lot. The fact that their voices still sound as good as they do I mean, it's been 40 years and, you know, and if you go back to when they started, that's 50 years ago and they were already big stars in Sweden before then. So do the math. They've been doing this for a while. But just know it's good. I Can Be That Woman is the next one that I really think is really good. The really heartbreaking ballad, kind of weird lyrically in some places, because it's like really focusing on how a dog is reacting to a fight. but basically a woman is really talking from this place of a woman who's really kind of hit rock bottom and really just caused a lot of disappointment, but she really wants to start over and really wants to be who she needs to be. Really, really great song there. And then the last one I think is part of the grade is No Doubt About It. Really upbeat, really pushing song, really driving. Not really much to say lyrically. It's not anything to shout about, but it's a really good feel of the song. I do think it's got three fillers. Bumblebee is the one that I really kind of felt that was kind of that, what I was talking about, the environmental one that's not really an environmental one. Because it's really talking about the demise of the bumblebee. She's sitting in her garden watching the bumblebees and likes to hear the humming. And she worries that the next generation won't be able to hear it. And while I was talking, I realized that I gave another song in the great category and took it out of the filler category. So let me fix that. I actually had 7 and there's only 2 filler. And the other filler is Ode to Freedom. And Ode to Freedom, it's okay. It's kind of reminds me a bit of Arrival, the instrumental track from the album Arrival, but with a lilting kind of waltzy vocal over it. It's kind of inoffensive. It's just kind of there. Kind of disappointing that note to end the album on, but it's not bad. It's just not great. So, but it's, you know, like I said, it's filler. It's fine. The only song on here that I really think is a skip is the Christmas song, which is called Little Things. And it is saccharine, and not saccharine in a good way. I'm talking like, when I'm talking saccharine, I'm talking literally sweet and low, like equal aspartame, like, it just doesn't feel good. I don't know how to, it's just not a great song, and it's skip. And I tell you, it's like, I have that song kind of where it doesn't sync to my phone. So if I listen to the album on my phone, it goes straight from When You Dance With Me to Don't Shut Me Down. Little Things is just not on there. And I like it better that way. So it's literally a skip to me, and that's just what it is. So throwing that all together, the final rating for this album is an 84, which is a solid B for me. Solid B in the category. It's, you know, it's a good album. Not anything. It's not offensive. You know, sometimes groups come back with albums and you wish they would have never done it. And there's enough good here to, you know, that's really good. So, so that's my review of Voyage. And hope you enjoyed my review of it. Like I said, ABBA's Voyage is a B. It was nominated for Album of the Year in the Grammys. Actually, the first time ABBA has ever been nominated for a Grammy. So that's saying a lot. So that's it for this. I'll get you on the next review. And as always, this is Trick, and much love.